Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Antigo to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q here on North Lloyd's 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening here in Tomahawk. We're coming to you live from Castaways Bar and Grill here in town. And boy, what a great atmosphere it is to be out here. Got a packed house in here. Everyone just sitting back, relaxing at the bar, enjoying a drink or two, and all getting themselves ready to go. I'd like to thank very much ahead of time. Before we begin, Trish, the owner here at Castaways, for getting me all set up, did a phenomenal job, and I'm very, very honored to have the opportunity to do my very first live Sports Q show here from Castaways today. So, got a jam-packed show for you. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Brewers and where they go after Willy Adames leaves for the San Francisco Giants. We are also going to chat about Wisconsin hiring the new offensive coordinator. Grimes is his name. We're going to talk about Wisconsin Marquette basketball, and we'll also take a look at the Bucks in-season tournament cup quarterfinal win over Orlando last night and where it leaves them going forward with the semifinal, which is coming up in Vegas on Saturday. But first, we're going to hit the gridiron and talk some Green Bay Packers. Okay, so in case you missed it last week, the Packers obviously lost to the Detroit Lions 34-31. Now, before we dive into where this leaves Green Bay in terms of the playoff picture, I want to say something that has been on my mind pretty much since Friday morning. And I said this before, I'll go ahead and say it again. Nothing upsets me more than fans blaming the officials for losing a game. Because there's so many other things that factor into an NFL game that you just can't take a look at one particular point and say, oh, that was the reason why they lost the game. Now, I'll be the first to say that the officiating was inconsistent. I'll be the first to say that the officiating was not that good on either side. But looking at the stats from this past week, you can't blame the officials for Jordan Love going 3-for-7 for 37 yards in the first half. You can't blame the officials for the Packers scoring just 7 first half points. You can't blame the officials for going 4-for-5 on fourth down, for the Lions converting 4 out of 5 fourth downs. Detroit outlasted the Packers in time of possession, 37 to 23 minutes. And Eric Stokes, Green Bay's first round pick from 2021, who was supposed to be a speed corner, who was supposed to try and lock down one side of the field alongside Jair Alexander. He got cooked by a gentleman named Tim Patrick, who just signed with the Lions this past offseason and was released from the Broncos because of how much he got hurt. And to be honest with you, the same old Packer defense came up. When have you heard this before? It's late in the game. Close game. Packers defense needs to come away with a stop. We've seen this movie too many times with Green Bay, unfortunately. Now, do I think that it could change this year? No. What needs to change is that Green Bay is going to have to go back into the draft again, just like they have done since the Super Bowl back in 2024, and find defensive backs that can shut down one particular side of the field. Now, Jair Alexander is talented, and he's one of the top 5 corners in the NFL. When he's on the field, he hasn't been healthy. So you may need to revamp that cornerback room. The Packers had ample opportunities to win that particular game. They had ample opportunities to beat Detroit, and it did not happen. Now, if you want to take a look at a positive from last week, the Packers' red zone offense, who's been atrocious for pretty much the first half of the season, they seem to be picking it up a little bit. They were 5-for-5 in the red zone against San Francisco. They were 3-for-5 against Miami. They were 4-for-5 against Detroit in touchdown efficiency. Miami won. You could give them a little bit of a break because they jumped out to a 24-0 lead and essentially just cruised the rest of the way. So the Packers have been playing better in the red zone lately throughout the last three games. They're going to have to continue that trend if they are going to find a way to come away with a win. Now, looking ahead to the rest of the schedule for this Packers team. Right now, unfortunately, with Green Bay losing to Detroit, it seems like that the Packers are not going to win the division. The only way Green Bay wins the division is if Green Bay wins out, Detroit loses out, and the Vikings lose 3 of 4. That's not going to happen. Let's be real about this. Taking a look at it now, the division is now a two-horse race between Detroit and Minnesota. Green Bay, unfortunately, is out of the fray. However, there is still a chance for them to get a wild card playoff spot, which would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, looking at the final four games of the schedule for each of the three NFC North teams, I'm not putting in Chicago because Chicago season is done. Detroit has Buffalo this week, which is a big game. And then after that, they are at Chicago, which they'll probably win. At San Francisco, I think they'll probably win that game. Then they got Minnesota at home to close it out. There is a realistic opportunity that the Lions could become the first 15-2 team in a 17-game season in NFL history. Looking at Green Bay and Minnesota the rest of the way, Minnesota has three divisional games and then a showdown in Seattle the following week. Minnesota has Chicago this week, which they'll probably win that game. They go to Seattle. That's a toss-up. They got Green Bay at home, which again is a tough game, and then at Detroit, which I think they'll lose, in my opinion. Green Bay looking at their rest of the schedule. Green Bay goes to Seattle this week, and the Seahawks, I have been waiting for them to be exposed as the frauds they were last season, and so far that has not been the case. It just hasn't been, you know, and it's surprising. It's surprising because the Seahawks just could not do anything right when it mattered most. Now, again, they're first in the NFC West, so that means they've got to be a good team. The NFC West is incredibly competitive this year. So they have Seattle this week. After that, Green Bay's got New Orleans at home, which they'll probably win that game because the Saints just lost Derek Carr for the rest of the year, and their season has been pretty much a disaster since week three. Then they go to Minnesota, which is a winnable game. Then they got Chicago at home, which, to be honest with you, they will probably win. Looking at this season, folks, the one thing that I have been looking for is to prove that last season wasn't a fluke. Because last season, Green Bay went 9-8. They had a hot stretch in the second half of the season. They won 6 of the last 8 games, ended up making the playoffs, upsetting Dallas, which seems to have broken them in the wild card round. And then they were within a field goal of beating San Francisco in the divisional round last year. This season right now is not a fluke. It could be a fluke if Green Bay loses out, which is highly unlikely. These next four games are going to tell me a lot about this Packers team. These next four games are going to show me what Green Bay is as a team, who they are as a team, and what they need to do in order to be better. Again, the Seahawks have won 4 straight and are sitting in the first place spot in the NFC West. Geno Smith, Seattle's quarterback, has been playing well this year. He leads the NFL in passing yards, but he's been turning the ball over. He's thrown 12 interceptions, which is right at the top of the NFL. And he's also had 7 fumbles this year. And again, the final point about Green Bay that I'll say is that these kinds of games is why you brought in Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs is a bowling ball of a running back, an absolute bowling ball, period. He is the kind of guy that will get you 3, 4, 5 yards in a cloud of dust consistently. They brought in Josh Jacobs for cold weather games in December and January. Now, Seattle, they're not necessarily as cold as Green Bay. There are times where they are, but the weather in Seattle can be just as bad as the weather in Green Bay. So my best guess is that Green Bay is going to be using Jordan Love a lot this week. You give him the ball 25 to 30 times, and you have him wear that defense down. Packers got a big game coming up this weekend. They don't get this game. their playoff hopes could be legitimately in trouble, especially with the way the NFC is playing out. Official bye week in the NFL: Denver, Indianapolis, New England, Washington, Baltimore, and Houston. Again, Detroit defeated Green Bay 34-31.
Mamma mia!
Jacksonville defeated Tennessee 10-6, which surprised me quite a bit. Minnesota got the win over Atlanta 42-21. New Orleans over the Giants 14-11. Philadelphia over Carolina 22-16. Pittsburgh over Cleveland 27-24. Tampa Bay over Vegas 28-13. Seattle knocking off Arizona 32-18. The Rams coming back. They knocked off the Bills in a barn burner. Highest scoring game of the season, 44-42. Powering back up, the 49ers beat the Bears 38-13. And also the Chiefs with a very close win over the LA Chargers 19-17. Seems like they've been getting extra lives. And Cincinnati defeating Dallas 27-20. I went 9-4 this week in my predictions. My record is 1-38-73 overall, which is not bad. It's honestly not bad. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. It's 5:45. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to chat. Well, we're going to chat about the Milwaukee Bucks and their in-season tournament quarterfinal win. That's next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
If you're looking for a freshly cut, locally grown Christmas tree, then pick yours out today at Vigoud Stewart Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk. Brian is featuring a beautiful selection of balsam trees from 6 to 10 feet. Vigoud Stewart Express also has a variety of wreaths from 24 to 36 or the large 48-inch size wreath, plus an array of holiday decorations in their trim a tree department. Vigoud Stewart Express, North 4th Street in Tomahawk, ready for the holidays.
Make it a warm holiday season with a Carrier Home Comfort System from Hilge's LP Gas. Carrier makes one of the most efficient heating systems rated by Energy Star, so make sure you're prepared for our Northwoods winter with your new Carrier furnace. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. No matter what your home comfort needs, you can count on Carrier and Hilge's to keep you comfortable. Carrier, turn to the experts at Hilge's LP Gas on South Tomahawk Avenue. Call Hilge's at 453-3505.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you live from Castaways Bar and Grill here in Tomahawk. Again, we just got done talking about the Packers. Now it's time to hit the hardwood. I think it's time to talk about some Milwaukee Bucks action.
VanVleet against Giannis. Crosses over, shovel pass, and count. Giannis gets the block. Got two to work with. Dame off the bounce against Brooks. Dame driving inside.
So it was a good day to be a Bucks fan last night. The Milwaukee Bucks are moving on to the NBA Cup semifinals after defeating the Orlando Magic last night 114-109. The biggest thing, though, with this particular game is that the Bucks are continuing to improve after having probably one of the worst starts, if not the worst start, in franchise history. Damian Lillard had 9 points in the final minute to help give the Bucks the win. And last night was one of those games where nothing was going for Lillard. Nothing was going for Giannis. The only other player that stepped up outside of those two was Bobby Portis. It's too much to ask Chris Middleton to try and put up 20 points when he's still recovering from ankle surgery. But it's not hard to ask A.J. Green and Andre Jackson Jr. to put up 10 points in a game against Orlando. Now, the Magic, they've been without Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, but they're still one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo had a phenomenal night, 37 points, 7 rebounds, 4 blocks in the victory. And it's very, very rare that I have said this, because this kind of experience hasn't been able to be... It hasn't been a success yet. It has to be a success if you're going to make a deep playoff run and contend for a NBA championship. Last night's game was a big reason why you went out and got Damian Lillard. 9 points in the final minutes against one of the best defensive teams in the NBA, and this was when the Bucks needed, regardless if it was a cup game or a regular season game or a playoff game. It was a game that they needed desperately. They keep finding ways to win close games, like against Orlando, like against Houston, which you heard on that game-winning layup by Damian Lillard earlier, and against Brooklyn also earlier this week when they came back because they had 60 bench points in that game. Now, with this particular win, where did the Bucks go from here? Well, the NBA Cup semifinals is taking place in Las Vegas, for those of you that don't know, Saturday afternoon. So the Eastern Conference will be first, followed by the Western Conference one. And the biggest thing is the Bucks. They made it to the NBA Cup semifinals last year. They lost on the road to Indiana. They lost on the road to Indiana. They lost to Indiana, who ended up knocking them out in the postseason last year. I think that winning the NBA Cup, I don't know what that is going to do for the team personally. The one thing that you can hope for is that it will hopefully provide a lot of momentum for them coming up in the next season for the rest of the year. Now, Milwaukee is going to play either the New York Knicks or the Atlanta Hawks, one of those two. They play each other tonight at Madison Square Garden. The winner of that game will take on the Bucks Saturday afternoon at 3:30 in Vegas. That winner will be determined again tonight, and if the Bucks win Saturday, the NBA Cup Finals are Tuesday night. That's Tuesday night, and they will be playing the winner of the Western Conference ones. Now, after the NBA Cup, this is when we take a look at the schedule for the Bucks and realize, okay, what do they need to do? They've got at Cleveland right away out of the gate after the Cup. They've got Washington at home. They go to Chicago. They got Brooklyn at home. And then at Chicago again. And then at Indiana. So they're going to essentially wrap things up with Brooklyn and Chicago before the end of the calendar year, which is mind-boggling to me. Both of the Chicago games are on the road. They play at Indiana and at Cleveland. That's a lot of division games in a short amount of time for them. The NBA Cup and these next six games are going to say a lot about where Milwaukee goes from here. Now, do I think that they're better than they were at the beginning of the year? Yes. Yes, I do. However, they're going to need to make a trade. It seems like that they have been able to find their shooter and their defender come off the bench. You're going to need another big to go alongside Giannis, Bobby, and Brooke Lopez in the paint if you're going to try to make a push for an NBA championship. Now, I'm not saying that A.J. Green and Andre Jackson Jr. are bad pieces. They're just not tall guys that you can pin in down low. Andre Jackson Jr. has been a great rebounder for them so far this year. A.J. Green, who they have affectionately called Dairy Bird in Milwaukee. Yes, that is crazy.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Those two together have been a huge boost for Milwaukee coming in off the bench. Now, this puts Milwaukee in a point where you probably will need to move on from Pat Connaughton at the trade deadline. The other thing to point out is that Chris Middleton is slowly working his way back into the lineup, which is honestly a good sight to see. I wasn't expecting him to put up 20 points a game coming out of the gate when he came back onto the court. Because with Middleton and his injuries, it takes time for him to get moving. It takes time to recover from these injuries, and it takes time, honestly, to be in game shape, which is what we all want Middleton to be. I think that the Chris Middleton that we saw in the postseason back in 2021, when he went on this unbelievable run, came away with big shots when they needed him to the most, That is something that you need to look for later on in the season. Let him get his legs up. But as of right now, the Milwaukee Bucks have been playing incredibly well. After starting out 2-8, they have now gone 11-3 in their last 14 games, which is a wonderful sight to behold. Their three losses are on a controversial call to Charlotte in the final seconds, which, again, a lot of things that came into it. The officials weren't the ones to blame for the loss in that particular game. They lost to Atlanta at home, which Milwaukee was just cold shooting that night. And then they lost at Boston, and the Celtics are the reigning, defending NBA champions. So that's where Milwaukee is at this point. Every other game in the last 14, they have won after starting out 2-8. Now, again, the last time we saw a team get off to this slow start in the NBA was a couple of years ago when the Lakers got out to that awful start because they could not shoot from beyond the arc. And they ended up going all the way to the Western Conference Finals before being swept by the Denver Nuggets. Now, in order for Milwaukee to make this move, again, they're going to have to make a trade. They're going to have to find a 3-and-D man. There are talks, potentially, about Jimmy Butler requesting a trade from Miami. I don't think that's going to do anything for Milwaukee because Jimmy Butler, even though I think having a Milwaukee kid come back because Marquette is where he went to college, that's not going to improve Milwaukee in the next few years. That is not going to make them the push for the title. It's just not. Now, what I can tell you is that if you end up getting a big of some kind, which there's potential that the Bucks could be interested in a guy like Nick Claxton, who could defend Brook Lopez down low from the Brooklyn Nets. You take a look at some of the other bigs that are in the NBA. I don't think the Nuggets will make a trade, even though they've gotten off to a slow start, because Aaron Gordon has been playing out of his mind for them this year. So when you look at this team, the biggest glaring issue right now is that they don't have another defensive big to go alongside Brook Lopez. And I'm not saying that Bobby Portis is bad by any stretch of the imagination. What I am saying is that defense is not a strong suit. And you need to find a big that whose defense is a strong suit and can make sure that it will be incredibly impossible for teams to drive down the paint. Because when you have the trees that Milwaukee has on paint with Giannis and Brook, you add a third one in there, that makes it incredibly more difficult for the Bucks to get points on a... That makes it incredibly difficult for teams to score on the Bucks in the paint. That's what they're going to need to do. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We're going to take a break. We'll take a look at some local sports after this.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA SIPC.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboard serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. It's now 5:58 here at our WJJQ studios. Very quickly, let's go over some of the broadcasts coming up here. We've got four more coming up in the month of December. The next one is going to be on Friday night. Tomahawk Hockey will be back at Sarah Park, which, by the way, congratulations also to the Tomahawk Hatchets hockey team. They are number one in the state in Division II for the first time in school history.
Yahoo!
That is amazing. But in order for them to complete the level, they are going to have to find a way to get themselves all the way back to Madison. So, Fairman Orthodontics pregame show at 6:35 and puck drop at 7 o'clock for Tomahawk against Marshfield. Keith Hansey is going to join me in the broadcast booth. Now, with this particular game, if you prefer not to listen, not listening to the golden timbre of my voice,
heavens to Betsy!
You can come to the game because Rural Mutual Insurance and the WIAA are going to be there rewarding the Hatchets with the sportsmanship award that they got last year. So that's going to be a big achievement, so be sure to come out. After that, we've got girls basketball on the road. They will be in Cranon Tuesday night. Matt Tyler is going to join me in the broadcast booth with the Fairman Orthodontics pregame show at 6:50 and tip at 7:15 from Cranon. And then boys basketball on the 19th. So next Thursday, Tomahawk will be heading up to Mercer. Tune in for the Fairman Orthodontics radio pregame show at 5:20. Early start this time. Tip off at 5:40. And Terry Tim will join me in the broadcast booth. And our final broadcast of the 2024 calendar year will be Tomahawk hockey against West Bend. That will be on a Saturday, the 21st. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show, 12:35, puck drop at 1, and Zach Garner will join me in the broadcast booth. That's going to wrap up part one of our sports queue on WJJQ. On the other side, we're going to talk about Willie Adames leaving Milwaukee for the San Francisco Giants. We'll talk about the Badger football team hiring a new offensive coordinator. We'll also talk Badger basketball struggling a little bit over the last couple of weeks. And, of course, we'll have our Week 15 NFL predictions. And that's all coming up here on the sports queue. You're tuned into Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. Our temperature in the Northwoods is 5 above with an 11 below wind chill. And it's now time for our latest update from CBS News.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. FBI Director Christopher Wray is resigning before Donald Trump can fire him. Wray spoke to FBI employees today during an annual town hall.
After weeks of careful thought, I've decided the right thing for the Bureau is for me to serve until the end of the current administration in January.
CBS's Nicole Skanga says Trump became disillusioned with Wray soon after he appointed him to a 10-year term in 2017.
In the months after Trump appointed Christopher Wray to lead the nation's premier law enforcement agency, their relationship soured. The tipping point, Trump's fury, his anger after the FBI executed that search warrant in August of 2022 at his Mar-a-Lago home searching for classified documents.
NYPD Commissioner Jessica Tisch says a gun found on the suspect in the death of a healthcare CEO, the shooting death of a healthcare CEO, has been linked to that shooting.
We were able to match that gun to the three shell casings that we found in Midtown at the scene of the homicide.
And CBS News has learned that two law enforcement sources say police found a notebook when they arrested the suspect in the shooting of Brian Thompson in New York. They say he wrote that he considered using a bomb but decided on a shooting because it wouldn't put innocent lives in danger. In scenic Malibu, California, a wildfire has charred at least 4,000 acres now and forced thousands to evacuate, among them Johnny Constantine.
Most dangerous, craziest looking fire I ever saw in my life, and the smell and the smoke. Seen palm trees I've seen for 10 years that are just lit like a candle.
Luxury real estate brokers Oren and Tal Alexander and their brother Alon have been charged with sex trafficking. U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Damian Williams.
As of today, law enforcement has interviewed dozens of women who reported being forcibly raped or sexually assaulted by at least one of the Alexander brothers. This conduct, as alleged, was heinous.
Prosecutors say the three men ran a sex trafficking scheme and assaulted dozens of women between 2010 and 2021. Inflation continues to push grocery bills ever higher, especially in high-cost areas of the country like San Francisco. Jordan Berger says she's experiencing sticker shock.
Eggs right now are anywhere from $7 and up. And I remember when I could go into the store and spend $3.50.
Inflation rose 2.7% last month, the second consecutive monthly increase. The House today passed a bill that includes a 14.5% pay raise for junior enlisted troops. At the close on Wall Street, the Dow down slightly, S&P 500 up about 1%. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast
from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We just want to have enough money for retirement.
And travel to visit our grandchildren.
I understand. That's why at Fisher Investments, we start by getting to know each other, so I can learn about your family, lifestyle, goals, and needs, allowing us to tailor your portfolio.
What about commission-based products?
We don't sell those. We're a fiduciary, obligated to act in your best interest.
So how do your management fees work?
We have a simple management fee based on the value of your portfolio, so we do better when you do better.
We appreciate that kind of transparency.
We also check in with you regularly to keep you up to date on the markets and your portfolio.
What other services do you offer?
As a client, you have access to resources on investing, financial planning, estate planning, Social Security, Medicare, and more.
Wow, it sounds like Fisher Investments has everything we need.
At Fisher Investments, we're clearly different. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com.
Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
A bump in the road for a retired football star.
Jason Kelce was driving a golf cart shaped like an eagle's helmet down Broad Street in Philadelphia when he swerved and tried to make a U-turn, then flipped over. The 7-time Pro Bowler, 6-time All-Pro, and 2018 Super Bowl champ said to be fine. He was wearing a Mummers parade outfit, reportedly filming for his new late-night show on ESPN. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
The amazing Kreskin has died. George Kreske Jr. impressed and befuddled television talk show audiences for years. He first began appearing on television in the 1960s. He was on shows hosted by everyone from Merv Griffin to Johnny Carson to Jimmy Fallon. He would correctly guess a playing card chosen at random and do other tricks, but some considered him a fraud. Kreskin died Tuesday at his home in Caldwell, New Jersey. He was 89 years old. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time. It is 6:05 p.m. and good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. It is 3 above here at our Castaways Bar and Grill, just on the edge of town, and with our wind chill at 14 below. It is a very, very cold day here in the Northwoods. Coming up on part 2 of the Sports Q, we're going to talk about Willie Adames leaving Milwaukee to go to the San Francisco Giants for greener pastures, both maybe on the grass and also on the, in terms of money, if you know what I mean. We're also going to talk about the Badgers hiring their new offensive coordinator, and we're going to talk about Badger basketball and their recent stretch, why they're struggling just a little bit coming out of the gate. Instead, here's your forecast from Brittany Merlot.
The forecast for the Northwoods: temperatures are sliding to the single digits. Bottoming out tonight, sub-zero will crash to 9 below. And as winds continue to be feisty, it'll be a blustery, bitter cold night. In fact, cold weather advisory goes into effect from 10 p.m. tonight through 10 a.m. tomorrow, because those winds are going to really be making it feel more like 20 to 30 below. We stay breezy tomorrow, too, with frigid temperatures, but there'll be some sunshine. So while it may look nice outside, high temperatures will only tap 2 degrees and they'll feel more like 15 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot for WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. We're coming to you live from Castaways Bar and Grill here in Tomahawk, continuing the Sports Q show here. Thank you very much once again to Trish for giving me the opportunity to host here at Castaways. And then also, we want to give a big shout out. Class of 1972's annual Christmas party is being held here just over to the right of me. So big shout out to them, celebrating the same Christmas party for 52 years. And they decided one of the newest restaurants in town, which is Castaways right here on the outside, to come and celebrate. So we talked about the Packers. We've talked the Bucks. Now it's time to talk about some Brewers. What do you say we talk about a now former Brewer leaving for greener pastures, I guess you could say? I guess you could say it's leaving for greener pastures. Right, everyone? Well, this is going to be a first. I seem to have not gotten the right music up here. So, well, that's the definition of me hitting rock bottom. So you can go ahead and call me an idiot.
What an idiot!
So, let's go ahead and talk about some Brewers, shall we? So, in case you missed it over the weekend, this broke, I believe, at about, it was either Friday or Saturday. Willy Adames has left the Milwaukee Brewers, unfortunately.
Wah, wah, wah.
He is leaving for greener pastures, both on the field and also in his wallet. See what I did there.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
But needless to say, he's no longer a Brewer. So Willy Adames has signed a 7-year, $182 million contract with the San Francisco Giants. He is now officially the Giants' starting shortstop. Now, here's the reality of this. The Milwaukee Brewers, as much as I love them, it is a small market. So as a result, they are hampered on a consistent basis by certain downfalls, which is not a lot of money, can't really pay big stars. Now, the thing to point out is I have a feeling that if Christian Yelich didn't have his big contract, the Brewers probably would have brought back Adames. And it's not Yelich's fault because he played unbelievable this year up until he got hurt. But that's where I feel like Milwaukee is at this point. So Adames, in his time with Milwaukee, 119 home runs, 310 RBIs, 323 on-base percentage, a .457 slugging percentage. And he played 548 games with the Brewers, including 161 last year. And he helped lead the Brewers to 3 division titles in 4 years. One of the most athletic shortstops in all of baseball. Now, as a Brewers fan, I am sad that he is gone. Because Willy Adames, honestly, was one of my favorite players to watch. He really, really was. On the other hand, I saw this coming. And I saw this coming because Milwaukee is just a small market. It's just a small market town. It's a major market town, but it's still small, nonetheless. The thing that surprised me was that he chose the Giants, because there were a lot of big market teams that wanted him. When you look at some of the other teams that wanted him, I thought early on Baltimore, but it seems like that they haven't been able to bring back any of their key players. They have a lot of free agents, including former Brewer pitcher Corbin Burns, Anthony Santander. They made a couple moves bringing in Tyler O'Neill and also former Brewer catcher Gary Sanchez. So as we currently stand, Milwaukee Brewers now have a hole at shortstop, I guess you could say, or a hole in their infield. I thought that the Yankees would be an option because he could be an upgrade from Anthony Volpe. On the other hand, I thought the Dodgers could have been an option because then you have the chance to move Mookie Betts back into the outfield where he's more comfortable being. Now, that would only make the strongest team in the National League, maybe in all of baseball, stronger, but it still would have been that. Not necessarily the Mets I didn't see as an option because they still have Francisco Lindor, and the Mets getting Juan Soto is definitely a big boost for them in that outfield spot, especially offensively. And again, going to the Angels would have been a mistake. Now, I am happy, though, because he deserved every single penny of that $182 million. Now, baseball players make exorbitant contracts. Look at Shohei Ohtani. Look at Mookie Betts. Look at a guy, look at a guy like Juan Soto, who just got the biggest deal in all of baseball. The Yankees went out and got Max Fried. I'm not surprised that Adames got his money. $182 million over 7 years is good. Willy Adames turns 31 soon. He is going to be entering the back half of his prime, no matter what way you think about it. And I hope that the Giants succeed because of him, because I don't want the prime of his career wasted. And the Giants have been known to do that over the last decade or so. They won a World Series back in, I think, 2016 and have only had one postseason burst since then. That was 2 years ago when they lost in 5 to the Dodgers when they won 101 games. So after this signing, where does this leave Milwaukee? Well, I got good news for Brewers fans. The Brewers are still one of the best defensive teams in all of baseball. The best defensive team in the National League. They got the team gold glove to begin the season at the end of the year. Bryce Terang was awarded with the Platinum Glove Award, which was given to the best defensive player in all of the National League. That's what he got. Their infield is still strong. Joey Ortiz was the greatest find, in my opinion, by David Stearns, the general manager for the Brewers, who, by the way, congratulations to him. He also got Executive of the Year awarded by the MLB. Joey Ortiz, towards the second half of the season, became one of the better third basemen in the National League. Now, there is a possibility that they could move him to shortstop, which that was his position in the minors. When he moved over to third base, he became incredibly better because he may be the best athlete the Brewers have. Do I think the Brewers can move Terang to shortstop? It's possible. He was a shortstop in the minors as well. So there's a bunch of things that you could do. And don't forget, you also have a couple of really good infielders in the minors that you can plug in and play if you want to succeed. You have Tyler Black. You also have this kid, Jesus Mate, who might just be better than Jackson Chirio, who was in the running for National League Rookie of the Year. You might have him come on up and try and surprise people with their play. With his play, Bryce Terang right now is the best second baseman in baseball. And he could very well be moved to shortstop, all things considered. And the other thing is, I mentioned those three guys. Didn't even bring up the fact that you've got Rhys Hoskins, who's only getting healthier after last season, in which he missed the previous year with a torn ACL. He came back and had a career high in home runs and RBIs. And I think the Brewers are not done making moves, because it was also reported that the Brewers could also move on from Devin Williams during this winter at some point. I hope that it's not teased like it was with Corbin Burns. As much as Joey Ortiz has been a huge boost for Milwaukee, trading away Corbin Burns, they waited until the 11th hour of the winter meetings right before spring training in order to trade him. I don't want to see that happen. Now, there are a few teams that do deserve Devin Williams. I think that the Yankees and the Dodgers could definitely be put into consideration. The Yankees just brought on Max Fried. I don't know what their cap space is at this point, but they should be able to bring in some sort of money. So the Yankees and the Dodgers are interested, not surprised. The two teams that are interested in Devin Williams that surprised me were a couple of smaller market teams. The Detroit Tigers, who are still very big market, not as big as New York or LA, but still a big market. And the Kansas City Royals. And the Royals are a small market team who surprised a lot of people with making the playoffs this year behind the great play of Bobby Witt Jr. Other teams include Baltimore. You got Texas in there, who just brought back Nathan Eovaldi. You've got the A's, who are now in the process of a move. You've got the Angels, who are an unmitigated disaster. And you've got Miami, who's also an unmitigated disaster. So the Brewers are going to be making a few trades, I think, this season. They could be bringing in a couple of players also. They could be bringing in a player or two. Now, they were in talks with potentially getting Garrett Crochet from the White Sox. Crochet is now going to Boston, was reported earlier today. There's still some pitchers that you can go out and get in free agency if you want to continue to contend for a deep playoff run and potentially a World Series. I still believe, without a doubt, that the Brewers are the third best team in the National League behind the Mets and the Dodgers. You're going to need to revamp that pitching staff. Getting Brandon Woodruff back next year is going to be a huge boost. Getting Christian Yelich back is going to be a huge boost. But you win playoff series consistently with pitching, not with home runs. Look at what happened to the Philadelphia Phillies in the postseason. Plain and simple. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. It is 6:17, coming to you live from Castaways Bar and Grill here on the outside of Tomahawk. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about who the Badgers hired as their new offensive coordinator. That's next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucs, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Make your next vehicle buying experience easy at Bremen Merrill Ford. How? Let's start with our sales team, who consistently ranks among the top in overall sales experience and sales satisfaction. Ranked high because of their commitment to making everyone's vehicle buying experience easy and enjoyable. And of course, the obvious. Freeman Merrill Ford will give you the absolute best price on all new and used trucks and SUVs. In addition to the best price, Freeman Merrill Ford has the best selection of late model trucks and SUVs to choose from. All inspected and fully reconditioned by factory trained and experienced Ford technicians. Buying your next vehicle is easier than you think at Freeman Merrill Ford. With their top rated sales team, best price, and huge selection of premium trucks and SUVs. Come see why everyone is saying it's so easy to find their next vehicle at Freeman Merrill Ford. Exit 211 South Merrill. Online at freemanmerrillford.com.
It's easier than you think at Freeman Merrill Ford.
Hi, this is Matt Tyler from Wild Rivers Group Real Estate of Tomahawk and serving all of the Northwoods area. We have buyers and need listings. Are you thinking about selling your home? If so, give me a call at 715-490-1820. The market is still hot, and now is the time to list your property. I will give you all the details on what your property is worth in today's market and help you find a buyer. Call me, Matt Tyler, at 715-490-1820 or stop by our office at 1414 North 4th Street in Tomahawk. You can also check us out online at wildriversgroup.com.
Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here live from Castaways Bar and Grill here in Tomahawk. It's been a very, very good time here. A lot of people that came out chatting it up, enjoying food, enjoying drinks. Might get a drink and a burger after this is done. Who knows? Well, what do you say we go ahead and talk some Badger football here because... Well, a new offensive coordinator's in town in Wisconsin. I know it's the wrong music. I need to prepare better for this. But you know what? I know for the next time I go out and about. So, Wisconsin Badgers had a really, really rough second half of the season. Let's just be real about it. They lost their last five. They fired the longer their offensive coordinator, and as a result... they needed to be in the process of making it. Now, a lot of people have been critical of Luke Fickell, which I think it's too early to shed any blame on him. But he does need to see if he can get the right, and I mean the right, coordinator in for the job. So let's take a look at who he has hired as an offensive coordinator, shall we? So the Wisconsin Badgers, after firing Phil Longo, whose, again, his mindset was air raid attack, you go ahead and throw it all over the lot. They have decided to hire a new offensive coordinator, and his name is Jeff Grimes. That's correct. Jeff Grimes is his name. And Grimes has been an offensive coordinator for quite a long time. Now, his career started out as a graduate assistant when he was with Rice and Texas A&M. He has been in Division I schools. He's been at Division I universities for the most part. The only one where he wasn't at a D1 school was at D3 Hardin-Simmons. It's a D3 university in Abilene, Texas. He was an offensive line coach at Boise State, Arizona State, BYU, Colorado, Auburn, Virginia Tech, and LSU. Now, after he was at LSU, he also was an offensive coordinator for a total of 7 years across three different stops. Now, his first stop was at Brigham Young University. In BYU, in 3 years under him, the offense consistently got better throughout the course of his tenure there. They started out 101st ranked in terms of offense in all of college football in 2018. In 2019, They were ranked 27th in offense. And then after that, in 2020, with Zach Wilson, a quarterback, who was the number two overall pick back in 2021, they had the sixth ranked offense in all of college football. Zach Wilson had 33 touchdowns to three interceptions that particular season, and Brigham Young finished in the top 15 in the AP poll for the first time since the mid-80s. So Jeff Grimes was able to help create Zach Wilson and formulate him into being a top five NFL draft pick, which is a very good sign. After Brigham Young, he decided to take the job at a bigger university, Baylor, down in Texas. And when he was at Baylor, the records don't necessarily reflect that because an offensive coordinator, again, can only do so much in terms of the record. He can't affect the defense, the special teams, the offensive coordinator. All he can do is affect the offense that is out there on the field. His first year at Baylor, they went 12-3. They had the 40th ranked offense in the NCAA. So not bad, not great. They were good. And Baylor that year ended up winning the Big 12 over Oklahoma State in the championship game. The next year wasn't his fault. Baylor's offense finished up. They were 38th overall, but their team finished 6-7. And then in 2023, it was essentially, you know, the recruits that were brought in graduated, and as a result, the whole offense collapsed. The offense was ranked 101st. In the NCAA, and the team finished 3-9. As a result, he was fired because Baylor wanted to go into a new regime, which is understandable sometimes. Sometimes you need a new voice in there at any point. He goes to Kansas this past year. Kansas finished 6-7, and they had the 53rd ranked offense in the college football. Now that, again, is good, not great. Here's the thing. For those Badger fans that are thinking, oh, it's a bad move to bring in, why are you going to Kansas for an offensive coordinator? Kansas's offense was ranked in 53rd in all of college football. You know where Wisconsin's offense was over the last 2 years under Phil Longo? They were 93rd in 2023 with a 7-6 record and 108th this past year. Triple digits. That offense was worse than any offense that Jeff Grimes worked under as an offensive coordinator. Those are the facts. Now, do I think that this is an upgrade from Longo? Yes, because Longo tried to instill an air raid offense into Wisconsin, and that did not work. What I like about offensive coordinators is that what was your niche? And Grimes was an offensive line coach, which leads me to believe that the Badgers' offensive line is going to get better next year. The Badgers' offensive line will definitely be better next year, depending on how many players go back. And now, with both starting quarterbacks from last year, and Tyler Van Dyke, and now Brandon Locke earlier today announcing that they're going to go into the transfer portal, you're going to be left with a new quarterback for this upcoming season. Now, do I believe that the Badgers will go and get another transfer quarterback? I think they will. I don't think they should. I want to see what Mabry Mettower is as a first-time starter. And if he's not a good quarterback, if he's not good, kind of like how Brandon Locke was, because Locke, again, nice kid. I'm sure that he'll do well. He is not a starting quarterback in the Big Ten. Let's just be real about it. He could be a starting quarterback in a school like the Mountain West. He could be a starting quarterback in an FCS school. He's not a starting quarterback in the Big Ten. No matter how many ways you slice it. Now, the other thing is, there's nowhere to go but up. Let's just be real. The air raid experiment was a disaster, unfortunately. And I say unfortunately because I thought Wisconsin instituting an air raid offense meant that you at least try to move up in the 21st century with a lot of these offenses that were able to throw it all over the line, which ultimately led them to making deep runs in the, you know, deep runs of the college football playoff. Jeff Grimes, in his 7 years as an offensive coordinator, crossed three different stops at BYU, Baylor, and Kansas. His offense was top 40 in the nation. In 2019 in BYU, his offense was ranked 27th. In 2020, his offense was ranked 6th. 2021, offense was ranked 40th. And in 22, his offense was ranked 38th. So right now as we speak, Will Grimes is definitely going to be an upgrade, in my opinion. Hopefully Wisconsin can get back to running the football, because now you have Darion Dupree, who I think is going to be a really good starting back for this Badger team next year. Something to pay attention to. And you include those top 40 finishes with a top 10 offense with Zach Wilson as your quarterback in 2020. and he had the 10th ranked rush offense when Baylor won the Big 12 in 2021. So you look at the resume that Grimes has, and I think that this is a perfect situation for both him and a perfect situation for the Badgers. And again, the fact that he's an offensive line coach means that he knows how to work with offensive linemen and create holes for running backs, which is what Wisconsin should have been going back to in the first place after a year and a half of the Phil Longo experiment. Plain and simple. Take a look at the Big Ten bowl games taking place across the area. First off, in the college football playoff, four Big Ten teams made the college football playoff. Number 10, Indiana, will head to number 7, Notre Dame. Number 6, Penn State, has number 11, SMU. The college football playoff games will begin on the 20th, so next Friday. Indiana and Notre Dame will be at South Bend at 7 o'clock. Number 6, Penn State, against number 11, SMU, at 11 on Saturday the 21st. Number 8, Ohio State, against number 9, Tennessee, at 7 o'clock on Saturday the 21st. And number 1 seed Oregon got the bye. They will play either Ohio State or Tennessee in the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl, on New Year's Day at 4:30. Other Big Ten bowl games, Rutgers will take on Kansas State in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl on the 26th, day after Christmas, at 4:30. USC will take on Texas A&M in the Las Vegas Bowl. That'll be on the 27th at 9:30 Central Time. Nebraska will play Boston College in the Pinstripe Bowl. That's going to be at 11 o'clock. Iowa will take on Missouri in the Music City Bowl on the 30th at 1:30. New Year's Eve will have Michigan against Alabama in the ReliaQuest Bowl. That'll be at 11 o'clock on New Year's Eve. At 1 o'clock on New Year's Eve, Washington will take on Louisville in the Sun Bowl. And in the Citrus Bowl, Illinois will play South Carolina at 2 o'clock on New Year's Eve. And then the final bowl game will be Minnesota taking on Virginia Tech in the Duke's Mayo Bowl on January 3rd at 6:30. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. It's just about 6:30. We'll take a look at our weather forecast, and then after that, we're going to chat about some Badger basketball.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
For the last 27 years, Heritage Chevrolet has asked you to fill the need for the benefit of the Tomahawk and Nokomis food pantries. Go to heritagechev.com and click on the Fill the Need link. Make a monetary donation to the food pantry of your choice. You will then be given the opportunity to enter a drawing for one of the prizes contributed by one of our local merchants. Alternatively, you can drop your check payable to either food pantry at Heritage Chevrolet. Please note that food donations are not being received at the dealership. This year's prizes include: from Lincoln County Cycles, a Troy-built sidewalk edger. From Ingman Service, an Oregon pressure washer and Toro battery trimmer. From Bethel Excavating and Northern Wisconsin Land Services, 10 yards of topsoil delivered locally and 10 yards of road gravel delivered locally. From Tomahawk Sports Center, a Skidoo snowmobile jacket.
$25 gift certificates from Chuck Sports Shop.
From HMM Boutique, a $50 gift card to Scarlet Garden.
From the Cheese Shop, a holiday basket.
A $50 gift certificate for Irv's Sales and Service.
Hewitt Meat, a $50 gift certificate.
$25 gift certificates for Holly's Bar.
Hometown Feed Mill and General Store, $25 gift certificates.
From the Cracker Barrel, a $25 gift certificate.
From Napa, a $25 gift card.
$25 gift cards for O'Reilly.
This year's drawing will be held live on WJJQ on Friday, December 20th at 2:15. Fill the Need is co-sponsored by WJJQ Radio, Creative on Nokomis, and Wisconsin Chevy Dealers. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Chance for snow tonight, otherwise partly cloudy skies. Lows dip down to about 9 below. Northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 3 above. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Right now, it's 3 degrees above zero.
Happy holidays from all your friends at Premier Heating and Cooling, your local Lennox furnace dealer. Make plans now to replace that old furnace with a quality Lennox model. It will give you peace of mind for many years to come. Featuring the most cost-efficient and quietest heating systems you can buy, Lennox Furnaces offers industry-leading efficiencies that can help save hundreds of dollars in utility costs every year. Call Premier Heating and Cooling today and enjoy the confidence in knowing that your Lennox furnace is ready for our Northwoods winter. Get all the information about Dave Lennox Signature Collection with a furnace just right for your heating needs. Explore the power of Lennox furnaces. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County A. Call 453-4700, wishing you a warm and cozy, happy holiday season.
Back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook coming to you live from Castaways Bar and Grill just outside of town here in Tomahawk. It's now 6:33. We've had a great crowd on hand. Again, I'd like to thank Trish, the owner, for getting myself all set up and ready to go here at Castaways. It's been a lot of fun. We're now going to go ahead. We got our NFL predictions coming up soon, but first we're going to go back to the hardwood and talk about some Wisconsin basketball. Okay, so I remember saying just a couple of short weeks ago that Wisconsin basketball was going to be, is very, very fun to watch, and they are. The problem is that they've hit a bit of a cold stretch, which honestly makes a little bit of sense because they've been off to a hot start all season long.
Wah, wah, wah.
However, you lose to Michigan at home, which that honestly is concerning because you went ice cold from three-point range in that game. You lost to Marquette on the road. That's a rivalry game that could go any single way. And then you lost last night to Illinois on the road. And Illinois has had Wisconsin's number for the last few years. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a matchup. I don't know if it's the coaching. I don't know if it's the players. Something doesn't feel right when Wisconsin plays Illinois. So the bright spot over this last week and a half is that Max Klezmant has finally caught fire, which is back and which was a concern for him because he'd been the only Badger that was cold. Well, now he's the only Badger that's hot. He had 22 points against Marquette on six different three-pointers against Marquette on Saturday. And then he struggled again against Illinois and then again against Michigan. But the whole Badger team went cold in those two games as well. Now, I said this at the beginning of the season because this was a concern. Wisconsin's offense is elite. Let's just be real about it. It is elite. I still think it is. However, their defense leaves a lot to be desired. The defense has to be better this season if they are going to be a top team in the Big Ten. They were incredibly close to winning the Big Ten tournament with an average defense. That defense needs to be amped up a notch. Period, plain and simple. Adding John Tanjay was a big boost for them because after AJ Store transferred out again, John Tanjay came in and he essentially provided the boost that Wisconsin needed. He had 30 points in back-to-back games this year, including a 40-burger against Arizona when Wisconsin knocked off the Wildcats, who at the time was ranked top 10 in the country. John Blackwell is taking a big step forward. Tanjay is averaging 20 points a game. However, the problem is the Big Ten schedule is going to heat up, and Wisconsin needs to play better against Big Ten opponents, especially with the expanded Big Ten the way that it is at this point. Now, they have Butler and Detroit Mercy coming up, which both those games will probably be winners for Wisconsin. And then Wisconsin begins the bulk of their Big Ten schedule. Their first four games right off the bat are Iowa. Iowa always plays teams tough. At Rutgers, Rutgers has vastly improved this year. They've got Minnesota and Ohio State. And after losing to Illinois, obviously there's a concern with their defense. Because giving up 80 or more to Marquette and Illinois is clearly a concern. When Wisconsin is not on, they have to find a way to win games. That was the problem with them for the most part last year, and that so far is the problem with them this year. I am not talking about, and is Greg Gard to blame for this? I don't know. I honestly don't know. Now he did bring in the transfers. He's the one that recruits so that the head coach can find a way to put the best players possible out there. However, there has to be something different because you have Max Klesman, who's been there for quite some time. You've got John Blackwell, who's a sophomore. You got Stephen Crowell, who's a graduate student. You also have Nolan Winter, who I think could be a very good big for them if he just refines his offensive game. His defense is good. His offense needs to be better. But the problem is, Wisconsin at this point, they are running up scores. They're running up 80 points a game. And unfortunately, their defense doesn't have anything to show for it. And it's the same thing as last year. That's what ultimately led to them getting upset by James Madison in the first round of the NCAA tournament last year. Do I think they have the potential? They have the potential to go forward and beat Purdue again this year, theoretically, in a Big Ten semifinal game. Or if you want to look at another team that's ranked like Indiana or like Illinois again, the Big Ten has just been a really, really tough go of it for both teams. The Big Ten is a very tough conference to play in. I'm not saying it's as tough as the SEC, but I think it's tougher than the ACC. Because you have Michigan, you got Michigan State. Tom Izzo is still coaching there. He is one of the best coaches in all of college basketball. Wisconsin's Greg Gard is second now all-time in wins as a Badger coach behind the great Bo Ryan. Wisconsin needs to find a way to amp up their defense while also keeping that offensive intensity up. They don't need to score 75 points a game to win. They have to get to a point where they don't need to score 75 to 80 points to win. They need to get to a point where they can score 65 to 70 points and win a game. That's where they need to go. Next game for Wisconsin is this Saturday in Butler. Butler's a tough non-conference opponent, but let's see where Wisconsin stands after that. You're tuned into the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5. WJJQ is now 640. We'll take a quick look at the NFL playoff picture, and then it's time for our Week 15 NFL predictions. That's next on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
John J. Schuette Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Schuette Construction of Tomahawk.
Hi, it's Jessica from Crossbridge Community Bank. Purpose first means being thoughtful about our customers' needs, our employees' happiness, and our community's growth. At Crossbridge Community Bank, we work to ensure that your experience with us is not just transactional, but transformative. You play a role in the future of our area, and your success is our success. It's Tomahawk and Merrill success. So bank somewhere that puts purpose first. Stop in today at our location in Tomahawk on 4th and Somal, or in Merrill, right on Main Street. We can't wait to see you. Crossbridge Community Bank, purpose first.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ, live from Castaways Bar and Grill here in Tomahawk. Before we get into our predictions, let's take a quick look at the NFL playoff picture leading into Week 15. So as of right now, not much has changed since the NFL playoff picture that was released a couple of weeks ago. This is where it stands right now. The biggest change as we speak is Tampa Bay moving up in the NFC South over Atlanta, who's now lost four straight. They are now at 7-6, and they are the number four seed. Minnesota, Green Bay, Washington, those wildcard spots are still the same. Seattle is now the number three seed. They are tops in the NFC West at 8-5. Detroit and Philadelphia are still the top two seeds as we speak. Detroit at 12-1, Philly at 11-2. Teams that are still in the hunt, the Rams, the Falcons, the Cardinals, and the 49ers. A big Thursday night game coming up in the NFC West, which I'll take a look at in just a bit. After that, you've got New Orleans, Dallas, and Chicago on the outside looking in. In the AFC, you've got Kansas City, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Houston are the top four seeds. Pittsburgh can clinch the AFC South with a win this week over Philadelphia, which I think could be an upset pick. Stay tuned. Houston at number four seed. The Chargers, the Ravens, and the Broncos are all 8-5 and tied for the fifth, sixth, and seventh seeds. All that's going to matter is where they're posted, because the next highest team up is Indianapolis, who's 6-7. I don't see them making the postseason this year. After that is Miami and Cincinnati after they beat Dallas. Teams that are now eliminated are the Jacksonville Jaguars, New York Giants, Las Vegas Raiders, New England Patriots, Tennessee Titans, New York Jets, Cleveland Browns, Carolina Panthers. That is eight eliminations already by week 15. So now that the playoff picture is out of the way, live from Castaways Bar and Grill, it is now time for our Week 15 NFL predictions.
Yeah, here we go!
Kicking things off with an NFC West showdown taking place in San Francisco as the LA Rams take on the San Francisco 49ers. Again, the 49ers, they came back from beating the Bears. As a matter of fact, last week, very good defensive performance. The Rams winning a barn burner over Buffalo. I am going to take the Rams to knock off the 49ers. I think it'll be now a two-horse race between Seattle and the Rams. If the Rams end up beating San Francisco, that's going to knock San Francisco out of the playoff race. Rams over 49ers, 24-20. Kansas City and Cleveland take on the Browns. Browns already eliminated from playoff contention. Kansas City has clinched a playoff spot. They've already clinched the AFC West. And I think that Kansas City will continue their winning ways. I think they'll beat Cleveland easily, 28-14. Cincinnati on the road. They are taking on the Tennessee Titans. Titans 3-10, eliminated. Bengals playoff spot is hanging on by a thread. I've got the Bengals winning this game. As a matter of fact, it's just beating a team that you should beat. Cincinnati over Tennessee, 30-17. Washington and New Orleans. The Saints are no longer with Derek Carr. They're going to go with either Jake Haner or Spencer Rattler, quarterback. I am going to take the Commanders to win, 28-17, very easily. Baltimore in New York to take on the Giants.
All hail the New York Giants!
New York Giants!
Not much doubt about this one. Baltimore over the Giants, 31-17. Dallas and Carolina to take on the Panthers. Panthers eliminated from playoff contention. I'm going to take the Cowboys to win this game. Dallas will keep their playoff hopes hanging on by a thread as well. Dallas over Carolina, 27-17. Now it's time for my Toilet Bowl of the Week. And it is the New York Jets taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Both teams eliminated from postseason contention. I'm going to take the New York Jets just because that they deserve a win, I guess, 21-20. And then Houston at home against the Miami Dolphins. Two teams going against each other, fighting for a playoff spot. This is going to be a tough one to pick. This is the final noon game. I'm going to take the Texans to win this game, though, and here's why. The Miami Dolphins have struggled very mightily on the road throughout the course of the season. Houston has been playing inconsistently, but I think they get the win, 28-27. Now it's time to move on to our later games. And the first one we have is Denver at home. They're taking on the Indianapolis Colts. Big game in the AFC playoff picture for these two teams. It is, again, Denver and Indianapolis. The Broncos, they look like they could be a legit threat to someone to knock out in the postseason if they're able to keep it going. I will take the Broncos over the Colts. I think it's going to be a close game, but it's going to be Denver over Indy, 24-23. And this, by many, is dubbed the game of the week. Detroit at home taking on the Buffalo Bills. The Lions have won 11 straight. The Bills are 10-3. This is going to be a great matchup. I am going to take the Bills to beat the Lions on the road. I think it's going to be a close game, but I definitely believe that Buffalo pulls it out, 35-34. Pittsburgh in Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. The Steelers are 10-3 and the Eagles are 11-2. This is a great matchup for the folks in the state of Pennsylvania, and this will be my upset of the week.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
I'm going to take the Steelers over the Eagles, 28-24 in a tight one. Arizona at home next to take on the New England Patriots. Patriots are eliminated from playoff contention. Cardinals, again, still fighting for a playoff spot, potentially an NFC West title. I will take Arizona to win this game. I think it'll be closer than people realize, but I will go Arizona over New England, 24-17. Chargers at home to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Should be a good one also. Chargers, they're 8-5 again. Jim Harbaugh looks like an early coach of the year candidate. Tampa Bay the leader in the South. I will take the Chargers to beat the Buccaneers 27-21. Sunday night game. We'll have our Thursday, Sunday, and one of our Monday night games for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Sunday night, Green Bay in Seattle. The Packers can clinch a playoff spot with a win over Seattle. And if Atlanta loses their Monday night game, which we'll get to in a sec, I got the Packers winning this game. Green Bay has had struggles going into Seattle, but I think they get the win 27-20. Now, Monday night doubleheader. This one we'll have for you broadcast here on WJJQ. It's Minnesota taking on the Chicago Bears at home. I think the Vikings will get the win in this one. Again, the NFC North, it is a two-horse race between Detroit and Minnesota at this point. Vikings over the Bears 31-20. And then our final game of the week is another Monday night game. Atlanta in Vegas to take on the Raiders. Again, the Falcons, they're still fighting for a playoff spot. Raiders have been eliminated for a long time. But the Falcons have lost four straight games, so this could very well be the beginning of the Falcons' downfall. However, I think they break their four-game losing streak and get the win over Vegas 28-13. Those are my Week 15 predictions live from Castaways Bar and Grill on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. It is now 6:49 here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We'll be back for our local sporting events and our final countdown after this.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Tired of living with pain and discomfort? Would you like help that's invested in your progress and your personal goals? And if so, Health in Motion Physical Therapy is here for you. Health in Motion ensures you'll receive personalized care from a team of experienced therapists who have remained dedicated to treating the Tomahawk community. And it doesn't have to be expensive. Health in Motion will discuss your insurance benefits with you so you know what to expect before treatment starts. And they offer affordable self-pay rates so you can focus on feeling better, not unexpected bills. Don't wait in pain. Take the first steps toward a pain-free life by calling Health in Motion at 715-453-6650 or visit himwi.com to schedule your appointment. Once again, go to himwi.com and schedule your appointment. Health in Motion wants you to get back to the activities you love quickly so you don't have to be in physical therapy longer than you need to be.
So come on, choose Health in Motion for you.
Going over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house or anywhere else, get there safe and in style in your next vehicle from the Auto House in Tomahawk. For over 40 years, Gary has kept his lot stocked with vehicles with style and safety in mind, and that's doing business the right way. The Auto House has your back after you drive away from the lot with an ASC-certified service department for scheduled maintenance or if you need any other service. And it's always been a point of pride for Gary that if you don't see what you're looking for on his lot, he does his best to find exactly what you're looking for. And if you ever need a rental vehicle, the Auto House has rental vehicles. The Auto House is located on North 4th and Tomahawk and online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net. Happy holidays from the Auto House in Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook from Castaways Bar and Grill here just on the west side of Tomahawk. And it's now time for a quick look at our local sports for this week. Coming up on Thursday, a few events taking place. Tomahawk boys swimming against Rhinelander, Shawano at Medford, Antigo at Lakeland, and boys wrestling coming up as well. Mosinee with a triangular tomorrow with Wittenberg, Burnhamwood, and Leona Wabino, and Medford has Neillsville. For hockey, Mosinee will have an invite taking place at the Green Heck Fieldhouse down in Wausau starting tomorrow. Their first opponent is Wausau West. Shawamigan will take on WSLFG. Tomahawk will take on Rhinelander. That'll begin at 7. Anagos in Medford and Wausau East Merrill will be in D.C. Everest. And a basketball doubleheader taking place in Crandon between the Cardinals and the Elko Hornets. That begins at 7:15. Leona Wabino girls have Florence and the Shawamigan boys have Goodman Pembine. A lot of basketball doubleheaders coming up on Friday. Shawamigan at Assumption, Phillips at Auburndale, Prentice at Edgar, Rib Lake at Marathon, Three Lakes Phelps at Tomahawk, Lakeland at Anago, and Elko has Faith Christian Academy. For boys basketball, Mosinees in Medford, Rhinelanders in Northland Pines, and Merrill's in Wausau East. For girls basketball, Medford is in Mosinee, Pines is in Rhinelander, and Merrill will be hosting Wausau East. Two hockey games in action also for Friday. Tomahawk will be hosting Marshfield, and Northland Pines will be in Waupaca. Girls wrestling, Mosinee will have an invite also coming up on Friday at Eau Claire North. Coming up on Saturday for boys wrestling, Lakeland will have an invite in Barron. Mosinee will be in Eau Claire North, and Tomahawk will be in Crandon. For boys swimming, Tomahawk and Lakeland will have an invite in Rhinelander. And for boys basketball, Mosinee will have an invite in Kaukauna. Girls basketball, Leona Wabino will have a non-conference showdown in Gibraltar. And hockey will have Northland Pines at Waupun on Saturday. On Monday, for girls basketball, Three Lakes Phelps girls and boys are in action. The girls will be in taking on Prentice. And Three Lakes Phelps will be hosting Crandon at 7:15. Coming up on Tuesday, pretty full slate on tap for hockey. Lakeland will be in Kingsford, Michigan. That begins at 5:30. Northland Pines will be in Marshfield. Medford is in Shawano. Pacelli is in Rhinelander. Mosinee is in West Salem. And Shawamigan will be hosting Barron. For boys basketball, Wausau West will be in Medford. Ashland will be in Rhinelander. Phillips is in Shawamigan. Rib Lake has Athens. Prentice is in Abbotsford. Leona Wabino has Gibraltar. And Merrill is hosting Shawano. And for girls basketball, Tomahawk will be in Crandon, Medford will be in Rice Lake, and Wausau West will be in Lakeland, Northland Pines will be in Florence, and for boys wrestling also, Tomahawk will have a quad in Northwestern coming up on Tuesday. Winter sports season is in full swing here in Tomahawk and in the Northwoods here on WJJQ. Again, we'll take another quick look at the broadcast coming up over the next few weeks. Now, again, we have four more broadcasts, and we'll put this out there right now. Our final broadcast of December will be on the 21st. So, our next hatchet broadcast is Friday night as Tomahawk Hockey will take on Marshfield. Fairman Orthodontics pregame shows at 6:35. Puck drop is at 7 at Sarah Park. Keith Hansey will join me in the broadcast booth. And if you don't want to hear the golden timbre of my voice, you can come to Sarah Park. Tomahawk will be awarded the Sportsmanship Award from Rural Mutual Insurance and the WIAA between the first and second periods of that particular game. So that's something to pay attention to. After that, we'll have a girls basketball broadcast for you in Crandon. That's coming up on Tuesday. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show is at 6:50. Tip is at 7:15. And Matt Tyler is going to join me in the broadcast booth. Meanwhile, Tomahawk boys basketball broadcast will be in Mercer next Thursday, the 19th. Fairman Orthodontics radio pregame show at 5:20. Tip will be at 5:45. And Terry Tim will join me in the broadcast booth on the 19th. And our final broadcast for December, it will be Tomahawk Hockey hosting West Bend on Saturday, the 21st. Fairman Orthodontics radio pregame show at 12:35. Puck drop is at 1 o'clock. And Zach Garner will be right back in the broadcast booth with me. And just a couple of quick notes as we go ahead and start to turn the calendar closer to Christmas. We will not be having a Sports Q show on Christmas this year.
Wah, wah, wah.
I will be down in southern Wisconsin seeing my family, so that is where I will be for Christmas this year. Also, the January broadcast schedule will be released before the end of the calendar year. So if you want to check out the sports broadcast, that will be released. Be sure to be on the lookout for it. Just go to WJJQ.com and click on the Sports Broadcast Schedule tab. It's under the Local Sports tab. That will also be where we'll have our NFL broadcast. We'll also have some NFL postseason broadcasts coming up for you. With hopefully the Packers making the postseason, maybe we could do one of those games. Hopefully that would be nice. So again, be sure to tune into the Sports Q every Wednesday at 5:30. Not always from Castaways Bar and Grill. We'll probably do it from back at our WJJQ studios, the very, very friendly confines of those coming up next week. But again, being out here was a lot of fun. I definitely had a great time doing the show live from Castaways. Had a good turnout, too. Had a Christmas party going on across the way. Had a lot of people hanging out at the bar. It's definitely a lot of fun. So thank you very much for tuning in to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Would like to thank Greg Albert, my boss, for having me the opportunity to do this. And thank you also to Trish, the owner at Castaways, for allowing me to broadcast here. Here's our final countdown as we go ahead and end things out. Thank you for joining me on the Sports Q here on WJJQ. Have a spectacular week, and I'll see you all next week.
Listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community. Right.